So if you guys have listened to this podcast at all, you know how much we love microdosing. And that is microdosing with Lumi gummies. We are both huge fans of this product and cannot recommend it enough. But if you don't know what we're talking about, microdose gummies deliver the perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And who doesn't want to feel good? We all want to feel good. I have found so many amazing ways that these gummies have helped me that I am actually constantly running out of them. I use them and have always used them since I first tried them for sleep. They help me fall asleep faster. They help me stay asleep. I sleep more soundly and I never wake up feeling groggy. They also are hugely helpful when it comes to pain management. I'm getting older and I have various aches and pains that happen now and then. And rather than taking, you know, Advil or Tylenol, I take one of these gummies, sometimes two, and it really helps to kind of alleviate the pain and help me not focus on it a lot. They have helped me with anxiety, which is a new thing for me. I have never really had anxiety before, but over the past 6 months, I've experienced a bit of it. They've been instrumental in reducing my anxiety and are so much better than having a cocktail or taking a prescription pill. And these are just a few of the ways that I have found them useful, but there is a never-ending list of the ways that they can help beyond pain management, anxiety, and sleep. They can help with creativity. They can help with sex drive. They can help with such a host of different things, and I just can't recommend them enough. So if you would like to try them, you can get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com. with promo code Southwest. It's available nationwide. That's microdose.com, promo code Southwest for 30% off and free shipping. Microdose.com, promo code Southwest.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This series contains adult language and descriptions of graphic violence. Listener discretion is advised. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Death by Southwest. This is Margot. And I am not with Jenna because we already recorded this episode. So this is part two of the murder of Thomas Bashline. And I just wanted to give kind of a little recap of where we left off. And I am going to start this part two about be the last 2 minutes from part one I'm including in this, just so you can kind of remember where we were. So just to kind of refresh your memory, Thomas Bashline, he was found dead in his home face down by his girlfriend, Yvette. And where we kind of left off in this story was that police had found his stolen truck. They had found a bunch of different items in the truck. They had spoken to Justin Christofferson, who had reported things being missing from his home. And some of those things were found in Thomas's truck. And so they had spoken to Justin. They had spoken to Hannah, who had her apartment had been burglarized. She said it might be this guy, Drayton Mayers. So police are talking to all different kinds of possible suspects. And then they decided to look into the gas receipt that they found in the stolen truck. So they went to the gas station asked for the security footage, and they were waiting on the security footage at this point. This is kind of the end of part one. And while they were waiting for the security footage, they decided to look into other evidence from Thomas's house. So the computer, and they found, when they turned on the computer, ads for men seeking men on Craigslist, both that Thomas was responding to ads, potentially that Thomas was posting ads. And they spoke to a man named Andrew, who had clearly been kind of corresponding via Craigslist with Thomas. They spoke to Andrew. Andrew explained that they had hooked up just once. And then it turned out that Andrew's alibi checked out. So he was not a suspect at this point. And that is pretty much where we left off. So we will jump into this episode in just a moment. I wanted to also apologize that there was no bonus yesterday. I thought about sitting down and doing one by myself. Jenna and my schedules didn't line up yesterday, and I didn't have much to talk about, and I didn't want to just sit down here and kind of blab about nothing. There has not been anything, luckily, there have been no traumatic or dramatic events in the past week or two. Week or so, I guess Henry's emergency surgery was the most recently dramatic thing, but Henry is totally fine. We actually went yesterday and got his stitches removed out of his mouth. And he is doing great. The vet told me that, so when I adopted Henry from animal control in Atlanta, he was missing two teeth on his lower mouth, right in the front. And I asked about it, and the people at animal control were like, I don't know. That's how we got him. He didn't have those teeth. So, maybe he was born without teeth there. Who knows? And I've never taken Henry to get his teeth cleaned. His teeth have always looked very clean. So I guess that's the only way I would have known about this. But the vet told me yesterday that when they got in there to remove the tooth that was broken and to kind of repair that broken jawbone, that they noticed there were fragments of teeth buried deep in his gums. And one of those fragments actually still had, like, was attached to the nerve or the root still. So they removed all that. And she said, he probably has been in mild pain for most of his life, and he's just gotten used to it. And I mean, it just blew my, I felt so bad. I was like, I'm a terrible pet owner. But she said, there's really no way to have known that unless you kind of get in there surgically. So still felt terrible, but she removed all those little fragments, and he does seem very happy and is doing well. And luckily, other than that, there have been no big events happening. Thank goodness. Just trying to focus on work and the podcast. But I guess I do realize that now I've realized, like, sounds terrible, but when there are things going on, whether they're terrible things or difficult things or wonderful things, when there's, things happening, it does make for great content. I was actually listening to, it was either Justin Long or Joe and Oliver's podcast the other day when I was walking Henry. And somebody said essentially something similar. It must have been Justin Long's podcast. They were talking about, like, going to the DMV. They're like, wow, we're really scraping the bottom of the barrel for, like, things to talk about if we're talking about the DMV. And I very much related to that, because yesterday when I sat down, I was like, well, I guess I could talk about, I recently had a friend ask me about Ozempic or Wegovy and what I thought, because I had tried Wegovy months and months ago. I was like, well, I guess I could talk about that experience. That's pretty topical nowadays. But also, I feel like the majority of people don't give a shit about that. So, and then I was like, well, I could read another essay from my Medium page. I'm like, well, people could just go read the essay themselves. So
Anyways, I didn't have a ton of interesting or exciting or anything to really report. I've been trying to just enjoy the fact that there's no major dramatic or traumatic events. So I guess all of that is to say that I do kind of miss sitting down because, you know, for a while right after Mark broke up with me, like I was obviously doing those heartbreak or breakup episodes. And I kind of miss sitting down and just being able to talk freely into the microphone to whoever's listening. But I don't know what to talk about right now. So I don't know if anyone is listening and has any questions or topics or wants to hear my thoughts or opinions. I don't know why you would, but if you do, please send them my way, you know, DM or you can email us. It's deathxsouthwest@gmail.com. Because I would love to do some additional bonus episodes that are, you know, not necessarily related to true crime, also not related to being brokenhearted. but I don't want to just blab about nothing. So please, please, please send me your thoughts, ideas, topics, questions, any and all of that. And yeah, I probably should have done this whole bit before I filled you in on the episode, but oh well, this is just going to be a backwards intro. I'm going to go with it because it is 12:15 and this podcast should be out already. So I guess that's it. I will stop talking and let you guys get back into the murder of Thomas Bashline part 2. And we will be back next week with another new murder story. Monday, hopefully, will be a sense of kind of the sense of place intro. And then Tuesday, we'll jump right into the story. So that's the plan. And as always, thank you guys so much for kind of sticking through the ups and downs of this with us and continuing to listen. And we love you guys. Okay, here we go. Part 2 of the murder of Thomas Bashline. So it's unclear to me whether Tom posted an ad or Tom responded to one, but either way, one of the most recent kind of communications that Tom had had on Craigslist was with a man named Andrew. Don't know his last name, but police did find out his last name, contacted him, got him down to the station and said, "How do you know the person behind the screen name XYZ, whatever Tom's screen name was?" And Andrew said, "Oh, it's from a gay hookup site on Craigslist. His name was Tom." Police said, "How many times did you guys meet up?" And Andrew said, "Just one time, about a month ago." Police said, "Did you go to his house?" Andrew said, "Nope." And police said, "It was just one time, just for sex, just that one time." Andrew said, "Mm-hmm." Everything Andrew said seemed to check out. They couldn't find any evidence of Andrew in Thomas's house. There was really nothing except for this one communication connecting them. So what he was saying seemed to be true. He also had an alibi that checked out. I don't know that that was not clear, but he did apparently have an alibi. They checked it, was correct. So Andrew's out. He's not a suspect. But this discovery of this Craigslist and this men seeking men and this meetup with Andrew, it raised a lot of questions because, well,
well, because period.
Right. I mean, like, could it be someone from Craigslist, or did Yvette find out that Tom was doing this on Craigslist
and then kill him because of it? Also,
yep.
When you first shared what was found, not that I don't know. I just had an inkling that something sexually, not sinister, but if you're in a monogamous long-term relationship, it could be seen as sinister.
Totally.
Right? But like, I just had that feeling. Also, when you said the sock where there was blood, I'm all, there's going to be semen in that sock.
Well, I mean, six condoms, and a vet's like, that's not from us. Like, you know, if you've had sex recently with your partner and they're condoms.
Well, and maybe they didn't even use condoms.
Exactly. So she, because, and that's true. I have no idea why, but she knew without a doubt, these are not from us. So yeah, that's a reasonable, you know, assertion that like, something off.
Whether it's because they didn't use condoms or because they hadn't had sex in the past week. Right. She knew, right. Understandably.
Right.
Oof.
So police are now like, the suspect pool can include all of Craigslist, you know? And so they had spoken to one of Josh's, or one of Tom's friends named Josh around this time. He wasn't a suspect or anything. And Josh said Tom never dated in college. He never met anyone at parties, and he never had a girlfriend. His first girlfriend was Yvette. I mean, and now I don't know how long him and Yvette were together, but he was 42 or 43 at the time of his murder. They had been together for a bit because he was going to propose, but I don't think they'd been together for like decades. They'd been together for 5-ish years, maybe. I'm guessing. But I feel like if they'd been together for years, that would have been stated. Jenna's looking at me like I'm an idiot.
Well, you're not, but let's say they'd been together for a decade.
Yeah.
He was 42, 43.
Still.
33. So yeah. He'd never... So, okay. No shame, but no like... Shame. If we're going on the thing of maybe he's interested in men, that could track. Now, again, 100%. I don't know. Right. But if that's where my mind is, it's like, well, he never had a girlfriend till even a decade ago when he was 33.
Yep. He had a kind of a secretive lifestyle for a long time that people who were close to him didn't know about. And one...
No reason to be murdered, but...
Certainly
shit
not.
Happens, I guess.
But one of his other colleagues, I believe, said, kind of speculated, and I think it's reasonable that perhaps he was so secretive about this lifestyle because he worked in sports medicine. He was in a lot of locker rooms with a lot of men, and that could have made a lot of people uncomfortable
totally.
If they had known his sexual preference.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
If that's the, well, either way, it makes sense, period.
Totally.
Yeah.
But Josh, his friend, was just, he said, I don't care what he does or who he loves or who he sleeps with, but it's just so out of character for him to be unfaithful. Like, he's just such a good guy, such an honest guy in all aspects of his life. For him to find somebody that everyone believed that he really loved and then be unfaithful just felt totally out of character.
Well, I believe that if he's really a good guy, and also if he's trying to hide something, he's not ready.
Yeah.
It's not him not, like, I get it. On the surface, it's not being a good person and it is cheating. But
I'm sure it killed him. Like, from what I understand, also, him, I'm sure it felt terrible.
Let's put our feet in Yvette's feet. Like, that's a devastating thing, but yep. And still.
Yep. Well, this led them back to Yvette because they were like, okay, so maybe he was unfaithful for a long time or a short time or however much time, and she found out. And she just couldn't handle it.
I don't even think that. I just think that it's well, maybe go on.
Well, no, I see what you mean. It's just unfortunate for her. How sad. How heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It wasn't making me think she was more of the murderer.
She's not. Her alibi checked out. She was at work. What I thought, and what I didn't see anywhere in this investigation, because I thought, okay, great. Her alibi checked out. She was at work. Couldn't she have hired someone?
Yeah, I just don't. Again. Everyone's different. My instinctual instinct was it's not her. She is devastated. She hates him. She loves him and sad and all the feelings or any of the feelings, but that she didn't.
The cops felt the same way.
Kill him.
They believed, you know, her alibi checked out and they didn't believe that she had hired someone. So they.
Oh no. Are you going to give me a twisty twist here?
We're going to find out.
Uh-oh.
So there were, as of now, three suspects in the police and investigators' minds. Gustin, Yvette's son, because he was the only other person with access to the house. Remember, there was no sign of forced entry. So it was just Gustin, Yvette, and Thomas that had access to their house.
I also think about, and I know this is totally off base, but Gustin is 19 and he hangs out and goes to parties, or maybe someone contacted Gustin. Maybe Gustin's gay.
Maybe. They don't know anything about him because they haven't spoken to him yet.
Maybe he dropped his key over here.
Exactly.
Anyways, well, go on.
They're dying to talk to him now. But he's number one suspect. Number two is Justin, who owned the murder weapon.
Christofferson.
Even though he said it was stolen, and that seems to be true. You know, they haven't found it, so they're not totally sure. Well, I'm sorry. They did find it on the passenger seat of his truck. But that could have been Justin who put it there. You know what I mean? Like, they don't know exactly Justin's involvement. And then Drayton, the burglary suspect, who also they couldn't connect to this. So they have three people who they really can't connect to this murder, but they are grasping at straws here. So since Gustin was the only person they hadn't spoken to, they were like, we're going to speak to him. They wanted to know where he was the day of the murder, and maybe if these condoms could have belonged to, these used condoms could have belonged to him, which I think is kind of ridiculous. Like, because he's 19 and he's a college student, like, oh, maybe the condoms are his.
Well, whatever. They have to go, I guess, to some somewhere seemingly ridiculous, but like, why don't, it's not 1951, it's 2011. They could do a DNA on the one that had semen in it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they could.
I mean, I don't really know, but I just assume.
I believe they could. In 2011, we were doing DNA testing. Well, they brought Gustin in for questioning on November 6th, 2 days after the murder. And the police officer said, did you ever have any parties at your mom and Tom's house? Any reason that there would be condoms in the house? And Gustin said, well, my graduation party. Officer said, okay, tell me about that. He said, it was just a bunch of people who came over. They said, okay, and did you ever find any condoms when you were cleaning up the party? He said, no. I mean, I found some wrappers, but I feel like I didn't go in the trash. Like, people took care of their used condoms if they were.
But graduation, like high school, would be May or June, right?
Right. And that's my next statement. This happened several months prior to the murder. So yeah, it seemed unlikely that like there would still be used condoms in a trash can.
That the police would find upon walking in the home.
No way.
Right.
And so the police said, are there any other times that you've been left to care for the house and like Thomas and your mom weren't there? And he said, yeah, I had a girl come over, an old neighbor of mine. We watched some scary movies recently. And they said, okay, when was this date? And he was like, Friday the 28th. So this was, you know what, a week before. And they said, Friday the 28th. He said, yeah. And they said, okay, well, where did you sleep? He said, the master bedroom. Well, why'd you sleep in there instead of the room you usually stay in? He said, memory foam. They said, okay, explain. Which to me is like, explain? Explain what?
It's a better bed and mattress.
I love what he said. He said, the mattress is angelic to sleep on.
My next question to him would be, how many times did you have sexual intercourse and were you safe?
And I never, from what I saw, I never saw the mass that. They maybe did, but that was not made public knowledge, at least.
Well, if there was something good there, it would have been.
Right.
So whether or not they did, it wasn't a thing. I mean, of course, they had to have asked something.
They must have. It would be foolish if not. But he told the police that the day of the murder, he was attending classes. And so they were like, all right, we're going to check this out. We're going to check out your alibi. While they're checking out his alibi, the footage from the gas station came back. And so they watch the footage and they can see at that time, the $25 of gas at 3:54 p.m., there's a male in the video wearing a black sweatshirt, but it was so grainy that it was really tough for them to see any kind of distinctive features. You know, they saw the back of his head and the quick passing of his face. So they called the gas station attendant at the time, Christina Cool, and asked her to help identify the man. They brought her photos of a couple lineups of people similar looking to this man, including Gustin, Justin,
Christofferson,
and Drayton.
Oh, Justin is Christofferson. Mm-hmm.
And she's looking at them and she's like, God, I don't know. And then she was like, okay, no, I know. And she said, I remember, because he had a really round face.
Christopherson.
Really clean shaven. She said it's number five. It's number five right here in this lineup. That was Drayton Mayers. So this is where the story to me becomes, I fucking can't figure it out. So I have this, I found this paperwork, like official paperwork, a PDF of it, official affidavit that on November 1st, so 3 days before the murder, Drayton was on a work release. He was a work release inmate at Boulder County Jail, and he failed to return after his work. Apparently, he was on probation from a 2008 forgery arrest. There was a warrant out for his arrest after he didn't return, but that was in Boulder. So somehow, police, when they were questioning about the burglary, like the timeline is weird to me. Like when they questioned him about the burglaries, I don't know.
Where was he on work release is what I'd want to know. And I guess it doesn't matter because you know the end of the story.
He worked at Silvermine Subs.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Right.
And so, okay.
So records say to me that on the 4th, this is what I found, on the 4th, which is the same day that Thomas was murdered, which is why this doesn't make sense to me. And I feel like I'm missing something here. He was arrested while picking up his paycheck from Silvermine Subs.
What time was he arrested?
I don't know.
What time do we assume that?
Had to be after 4:30 p.m. probably.
Tom was murdered around 4:30-ish.
Earlier, 3-ish probably.
3 to 4.
Yeah.
And Justin picked up his, Drayton picked up his
paycheck from Silvermine Sub Shop. I don't know what time.
Okay.
But
he was out and about.
What I think is that he picked up his paycheck and there was a warrant out. So they got him for violating his work release from prison. They have no idea he could possibly at all be related to this murder. He's just on work release probation. You know, he violated it.
He just didn't return right at his rightful right time.
So, but when he was arrested, it turns out that he was wearing some boots. And those boots
belonged to TB.
They did indeed. So, like, I didn't find this out that he was on work release. I read so much about this. I watched a documentary on it. I learned so much about this case. And towards the very end, like, which we are approaching quickly, I found out that he was on work release. The whole time I'm thinking he's just a regular Joe working at a sub shop, whatever. Then I found out he's on work release way later on. And he has a long history of crime dating back to 2008. He was accused of felony check forgery. He was charged with a misdemeanor traffic offense.
But all of that to me is so different than murder.
So different.
I'm not saying it's not him.
But so like, different.
Woof.
Third degree burglary, 2 counts of second degree larceny, defrauding an innkeeper in Boulder County.
Go damaging on still property, different, right?
Misdemeanor, possession of narcotics. All of this is much less. However, what blows my mind, and I'll be totally honest, I found a couple articles, but you have to like pay to read them. And I've done that a million times. I'm not going to do it again. But I could get the gist of them, that there's a problem. I'm guessing nationwide, but certainly in Colorado, with people who are on work release or on probation, keeping up with them is very difficult, especially when they go from county to county. So in Boulder, sure, the Boulder police understood he didn't return after his work release. But people in Weld County, you know, 25, however many miles away.
Is he being released to work in a different county?
No, he's not. He's released to work in Boulder.
So then why does it matter what Weld County knows? Shouldn't only Boulder County know that he was released to work from this hour to this hour and then they go pick him up and bring him?
That's exactly
the fuck
true.
Back.
However, Thomas was killed in Weld County. So Drayton clearly was released to work, didn't come back, and then drove over to Weld County and murdered someone.
Okay, so now he did it.
Potentially. Potentially.
So still, but that's crazy. Okay, let's say he did.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
That's a problem.
Huge problem. Huge problem. How did Weld County not know there was a warrant out for this dude's arrest? Remember, they questioned him about breaking into Hannah's, his co-worker's home. There was a warrant out for him at that point, but not in Weld County, only in Boulder.
Well, let's even say, how did Boulder County not keep track of this inmate that's on work release?
Well, and that's what I'm saying. I saw a lot of articles that were saying, like, that's a huge issue. Or it was at this time. I don't know if it's corrected itself or not. But at this time, there was a bunch of information out there about, like, there's too many people on probation. There's too many people on work release.
Well, yeah, probation. Forget about it. Work release is this thing.
And that's the thing, though. They knew he didn't come back. So they immediately put out a warrant. But that warrant doesn't go, apparently, statewide. At least not immediately. It's all happened within a few days.
Is this a problem about... I'm just kidding because you know I'm super uber liberal, but is this a problem about Colorado's liberalness? I'm just kidding. I really am kidding. And also, who knows? I still support liberalism.
Great. So
Wow. Interesting.
So Drayton is in custody and they bring him they don't have to bring him in. They bring him over from his custody
Where did they find him? Do you know?
He was picking up his truck at Silvermine Subs.
Oh, and that's where they apprehended him.
Yes. For violating work release, right. Not for the murder.
Right, right, right.
So they put him in jail. They bring him
back home.
Back into questioning for the murder. I also found this. He was born on Halloween.
Whoa, spooky.
So they tell Drayton that in addition to the burglary at Hannah's that they had previously questioned him about and he denied knowing anything about, there was another burglary in the area and they found his fingerprints there. So they were like, we know you were there. He says, right. I saw the interview. He's like, right. He doesn't deny it. And they say, can you explain to me what you took from this other house, from Justin Christofferson's house? And he says, a laptop. And they said, well, there's also a gun missing. He said, I wouldn't even take a gun. I said, okay, well, we have your phone from jail. And we looked at your messages and you were trying to sell a gun. And he says, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And he quickly admitted that, yeah, okay, fine. Yeah, I did both burglaries. I took the laptop, the gun, and the backpack. So the cops are sitting there silently in this interview. It's really fascinating how much this guy goes from being like...
Does he have a public defender there?
No, nothing.
Of course he could have asked for one, but he obviously didn't.
No, and actually, I don't know the rules about that. I mean, he's an inmate at this point, so...
I think he can still have a public defender.
No, it was just him. And so the cops are like...
Because if I was his defender, I'd say, no comment.
Lawyer. But so he's sitting there and he's admitted to the burglaries and the cops are, and it's just kind of quiet. And then he goes, okay, well, I don't know if I'm going to regret saying this, but I may as well just say it since we already know you're talking about Tommy. And the woman cop says, yeah, let's talk about Tommy. And Drayton says, well, Tommy and I, we met in May of 2010 and I put an ad out on Craigslist. And he responded, and we had sexual encounters several times from May of 2010 and throughout the year. And then maybe 2 weeks ago, I put another ad on Craigslist because I lost Tommy's number, and he responded to it. So the 4th, we agreed to meet up. He picked me up, and we went back to his place. He did seem a little down, and I asked him why, and he said he had a lot on his mind. Now, I had the gun and the backpack and several other things in the backpack with me. We were in his bedroom.
He wasn't having the gun intentionally for anything. He just had it. Well, I'm just asking for what you think. He wasn't planning on?
I don't think so.
Okay.
And so
what you think is right. All I'm asking.
So he said, we were in his bedroom and he asked me to give him a back rub, which I was okay with. Like, he was face down like here. And so in this video, he indicates Tommy being face down on the bed. He like makes, you know, a motion. And then he says, and I was rubbing his back like this. And he like demonstrates how he's rubbing Tommy's back. And he says, and that's when he tells me he has a girlfriend. And it pissed me off because that was part of the agreement. You're not in a relationship and I'm not in a relationship either. I would never be with him if I knew he was in a relationship. And he told me this by saying, I rub his back better than his girl did. And that's when I was just like, this motherfucker, how dare him? In my mind, he just became a pig. I was so pissed off. I grabbed the pistol and I didn't want to see it. So I remember grabbing a pillow. And the cop said, and what did you do with the pillow? And he said, I just put it over the back of his head. And then I shot him. and I was shaking and freaking out. So I grabbed some Windex and I tried rubbing his back with it because I was like, maybe this will get rid of my fingerprints, which like, that's a whole nother conversation. And he was like, and I was just like, I don't want to be here anymore. So I go and I take like 4 bottles of wine and I was just like, I'm going to go get fucked up. But then I was thinking like, well, how am I going to get out of here? How am I going to get back to my place? So then I just took his truck. And that was his statement. And he did say it was a heat of the moment thing. He didn't go there planning. It wasn't premeditated. Yeah, I don't think
he did. Well, that answers my question about he had just gotten that gun and he was the kind of person, understandably, or not understandably, let me back up, but like kind of he's got nothing to lose. So he's taking shit. Let me take your gun, your whatever.
Well, he didn't take, he took the gun from Justin, remember?
Right. But like it doesn't have to have a plan in his mind.
He didn't have
that's
a plan.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. He's just taking shit.
Yep.
I need shit. Yep. I want shit. Let me take it.
I got this from Justin and now I'm here and now, oh, I'm going to take this one. Well, right. Because he's also, he's on the run. Technically.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. He'll like, take anything.
Exactly.
Quote unquote, understandably. Also, it's interesting that Tom being in a relationship really lit him up.
What do you mean?
It bothered him that much. It lit him up.
I see what you mean. I thought you were saying that like Tom was lit up. No, yes, it upset him so much. But I guess they had been kind of fooling around for like months and months. So this was
I think it November. Seemed to me more than he was like, oh, you're stepping outside of this sexual relationship. It was more like I told you I don't want to be an asshole.
Yep.
I mean,
clearly you are because you just killed him.
Right. But like, I don't want to be that person.
Yep.
Well, then he became more that person.
Became way more that person. I did read some, I didn't include this in my notes, so I'm going from memory here, but I did read several articles that said that, so I watched the actual interview with Drayton and the police, and I didn't see any of this. Of course, I'm sure it was just a snippet, but several articles said that like Tom was using the F word in a derogatory gay way.
Fag?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to say it because you said it.
Yeah.
Like I don't condone it, but I'll say it.
Repeatedly calling him that, and it just turned something in Drayton. Mm. I don't know Drayton's history.
Well,
I don't
that's
know
an
his
element.
Past. None of it. But that was his kind of defense in court, or his lawyer's defense for him in court, that like this was a trigger word for Drayton. And
he was being essentially bullied and
exactly
whatever.
Right. Exactly
and also
right.
not good enough not to kill enough. Someone.
Absolutely not.
Right.
So I'm going to tell you, we're just about done. I'm going to tell you what happened to Drayton. But this really... I don't want to say rarely, but sometimes when I'm researching these, like something, I'm like, oh, I really want to know more about this. And so I was fascinated by the idea of that, like they met on Craigslist. Does this happen frequently? Is this a common thing with Craigslist?
Well, I don't know frequently, but I know, well, I don't know.
I didn't know either. I really didn't know. So I found it 2016. So it's a little dated, but Washington Post article, and it was titled 101 Murders Have Been Linked to Craigslist. This criminologist said, traditionally, the majority of murders are committed by killers who know their victims. But thanks to the internet and Craigslist generally, stranger homicides have been on the increase. And so there's a lot of murders linked to Craigslist. Like somebody posted something in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And it said, I was wanting to thank Tulsa for letting me have my first kill. Believe me, it will not be my last. That post came up. Police started investigating and then it disappeared and they could never find the person.
Well, you want to know a part of this, and this is like the base shit because I don't know anything about technology and IP addresses. But
sure.
When you post on Craigslist, when anyone posts on Craigslist, they are assigned like a separate
email. Handle.
Yeah, like a fake, not a fake email, but like a hidden email.
Sure.
So,
yeah. But
of course, police, I'm sure these days can track it back. And still,
probably a lot more than 8 years ago. Also,
but even so,
there are people who can,
you idiots can, also don't know that, and they'll think this is hidden.
Well, and those are the people who have gotten caught. But people who are not idiots understand, use a VPN, you know, scramble your IP, like where you can't track it.
Well, now people are scared of you.
But I didn't realize. So in 2016, Craigslist passed the 100 murder mark when a 22-year-old man from Gary, Indiana, attempted to rob the middle-aged couple who had arranged to buy his car and then killed them. I didn't realize that there's a movie called The Craigslist Killer, and it's about Philip Markoff, who was accused of robbing three women and killing one of them after meeting them in the Craigslist personal section. And then he was caught, but later committed suicide in prison. In 2013, 53-year-old Richard Beasley and a teenage sidekick were convicted of luring three men into the woods of Ohio with bogus job listings and then killing them. And then in April 2016, a 30-year-old attorney was stabbed to death in the Donovan Hotel in downtown Washington because he was there to meet someone he'd contacted via Craigslist. So those are just a few.
Yeah, there's, I was going to say, there's a ton.
Those are just kind of some of the like highlight ones, I guess. But needless to say, like, don't meet people on Craigslist. Like, don't do it. There's no if or but. Like, don't do it.
I won't.
Good.
Well, actually, I have to say, my favorite piece of furniture I own.
You sold on Craigslist?
No, I bought on Craigslist in about 20.
Is it your dresser?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's a nice great dresser. I paid $70 maybe, which seemed like a lot at the time in 2010, 2011, 2012.
Yeah. You met in a public place.
And Michael was like, well, we just went to her house. But
you went alone with Michael. Okay.
And
okay.
But I get the allure.
Totally.
Because that person, I didn't go alone and I wasn't even thinking that, but like I went to their house and it's my favorite thing.
I sold everything before I moved here. I sold on Facebook Marketplace in Atlanta. I sold everything. And at a certain point when I couldn't do individual sales, I never met anybody. I said, it's on my front porch. Leave the money under the thing or Venmo me under the mat.
Oh, that
or
was
Venmo
very
me.
Trusting of you.
It was. I also didn't care. I just wanted to get rid of my stuff. But towards the end, like I was a couple days out from moving, and I was like, I can't do individual sales. So I locked all my doors. I opened my garage and I put everything in there.
But I feel like Facebook, I don't know, I've never done it, has
safer.
Some other level of something, well, yeah, which I actually don't know.
I think you're right. And I don't officially know, but like your name, your picture, you have to put a phone number or email. It seems a bit more secure.
Right. Like my Facebook, I don't have my full name. It doesn't have my last name at all. Someone could look up, know my first and last, and they won't find me. But like, my phone number or my email
has to be
attached.
Yeah, they have to verify it. Yeah, I do believe it is somewhat safer. And as far as selling things, I think a lot of these murders occurred from, you know, sexual meetups, which I can understand that there's not really a good place to do
missed
that.
Missed connections, personals.
Right. Missed connections is such a cool part of the newspaper that doesn't exist anymore, I don't think.
The Craigslist paper?
Well, Craigslist, but that used to be in the news, like that used to be in local newspapers, missed connections, like in the back page, you know, with the classified ads. Like,
I don't know, I'm not that old.
I saw you at the farmer's market. You have blonde hair and you were wearing a blue shirt.
Oh yeah, that's Craigslist still for
that's
sure.
So cool. But not that cool. Don't do it. Don't do it. All right. So the conclusion to our story here is
stay off Craigslist.
Yes. Yeah, so stay off Craigslist is the moral of this story. And Drayton's trial lasted 9 days. A Weld County jury convicted him of first-degree murder in the death of Thomas Bashline and one count of aggravated motor vehicle theft. He was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. He spoke at the end of his trial and said, "My heart goes out to the Bashlines. I took a son, brother, uncle, cousin away from that family, and not a day goes by that I'm not reminded of what I did, and I'm so sorry for what I did." Again,
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What's again?
I don't know. I find that, like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd have to see it to say if I thought he was sincere, which sometimes I think people can be sincere.
Yeah.
And I can also say, screw you.
Don't
matter.
Don't forgive you.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But I don't know if that guy was sincere or not.
I neither.
Also, ultimately, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, he killed him in cold blood. The Weld County District Attorney Ken Buck said, "We're satisfied that justice was served. Thomas Bashline didn't deserve to die that day, and now his killer will spend the rest of his life behind prison." And Thomas was, and I say this only because I know that we've spoken about this multiple times, Thomas was cremated, not buried.
What about Yvette?
I don't know what happened to Yvette. I haven't found anything.
I don't even need to know. I mean, I get it. You don't know. But like, I wonder about her mental state and psyche following this, because she found out that he was fucking around with a man, and that's fine. Or it's not fine, but like, that's neither here nor there for some people. And for some, it might be, whether it was a woman or a man. I'm sure it's not better either way, especially if your partner's dead.
Right.
But like, a lot of unanswered for her.
Totally. Which would make the death of your partner even worse if there's a lot of unanswered questions. And I have no reason to say this, but just from everything I read about him, all the interviews I saw about him, there's something in me that feels like he did love her. Like, he loved her.
I'm sure he did.
And he cared about her. And this was just
both
part of him.
Both can be true.
That he, exactly. That he, like, he could couldn't
like to bang around. He could be gay sexually. He could be gay, period. And
love,
like,
her.
I have gay friends that love me.
Yeah.
I think if they were really trying to hide it, maybe they would have tried to hide behind me.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So, like, that's sad.
It's really sad.
Also, hope you're doing well, Yvette.
Me too.
Yvette
and Gustin, her son, 2011. So he's got to be a lot older now. I can't do that math quickly in my head.
Well, 13 years older.
It's raining.
Yeah, I know. Here, let's end this.
Okay. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed this, this
podcast.
I was trying to come up with, like, our journey back to, like, regular true crime. And anyways.
Well, let's start with one.
Thank you for listening. And we will hopefully be back again with more true crime for you sometime soon. Go follow our YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and Patreon, and leave a sample review. Also, before we completely sign off, I just want to say thank you to Jane Butkus. She left us a voicemail on our Google Voice line and suggested this story, which I am incredibly grateful for. And thank you so much, Jane. And if anyone else would like to leave us a voicemail on our voicemail line and tell us anything that you like or suggest a story, the number where you can do that is 520-302-5253. And we would love to hear from you. And if you do leave us a message, please let us know if we are able to play it on the show, because we would love to start playing these messages.
Good night and good luck.
There you go. Bye, guys.
Bye bye. Death by Southwest is hosted by Jenna Schneider and Margot Carmichael.
Executive produced by Margot Carmichael.
Produced by Jenna Schneider.
Audio editing and sound design by Margot Carmichael.
Music by Soundstripe.
And a special thanks to Edward R. Murrow for letting us borrow his famous sign-off phrase, good night and good luck.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.